Hello, welcome, my friends, to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
Welcome, to SpaceGameJunkie.com. Anything is possible at SpaceGameJunkie.com.
I wonder how many people are going to get that.
If you have a spaceship. It is at SpaceGameJunkie.com.
The impossible is possible at SpaceGameJunkie.com. Welcome and hello to you from SpaceGameJunkie.com.
You know, there's only two certainties at the end of the universe. There were three. There will be styrofoam cups, cockroaches, and Zombocom.
Zombocom. Folks, if you haven't seen Zombo.com, that site's been around since the internet. I don't know. Since the web, yeah.
Okay, I remember '96. Somebody showed me Zombocom, and it's still there in its original form.
It's still there. It hasn't been changed. It doesn't need to be changed. It's just brilliant in its simplicity.
Yeah.
So we have a guest co-host this week who came on earlier to help us test our stream, hangs out in the chat with us a lot. I want to make sure I see your last name right. Todd Showalter?
That's me.
Also known as Knack in our chat room, and if you haven't gone to our chat room, there's a link to the live stream and chat. That's both on the website, but he usually goes by Knack in the chat room. Thank you for joining us, Knack, to help us test the stream and whatnot.
Good to be here.
Now, folks, thank you for your patience. I just went through a move, so we didn't do a podcast for 2 weeks because. You know, didn't have a computer, didn't have internet.
Was it a smooth move, would you say?
The move itself couldn't have gone better. We had never used professional movers before.
Yeah.
And including travel time, they were done in 5 hours.
Oh, cool. So, like, did it take you a while to figure out, like, what box you'd pack the cat in? And
no, actually, once we were close to being done, I put the cats in carriers and drove on ahead to lock them in one of the bathrooms so they'd be out of the way for the movers. So, yeah, we didn't have to worry about that. But, yeah, the funny thing is we had never used professional movers before, so we were both really nervous about it. So we both woke up at, like, 2 in the morning because we couldn't sleep. And we were, like, exhausted all day. But the move itself went really well. The packing was chaotic. The unpacking has been less so, thankfully. But the new place is so much nicer. Like right now, I'm in our office. I have an office now with so much more space. And it's great. Like I've never had this much space to myself. So, and the main bedroom is almost as big as the living room in the old apartment. That's how fucking big it is. So, yeah, we definitely got an upgrade. And my commute, here's the best thing about it, folks, which is going to be great for you all and me. My commute has been cut by at least 2/3. If not 3/4. So I'm going to have a lot more time to dedicate to this site, which I'm very excited about once the move is done. But before we get into this week's game, which is recommended to us by Timmy, I'm not even kidding. That's his username.
Timmy.
With the exclamation point included. It's like, how the hell did he spell it? It's like T-I-M-M-A-G-H. Yeah, no, T-I-M-M-A-I-G-H, exclamation point. That's his username. Like, okay. So he specifically requested we look at this game. But before we get that, there have been some new games announced in the last few weeks we just wanted to touch on. The first was Ancient Space. Did you guys see that one?
From Paradox? I played that, like, ages ago.
No, it's not Homeworld. It's no, not it's Homeworld. Old. Oh, God. I will say the name is a bit generic. They could have gone with Spacey Space and gone even more generic, but really, or Old Space. But that would have been old. That would have been too close to Old Spice.
I know, right? They could have had the guy with the towel.
That would have been great. Admirals, look at your ship. Now look at me. Now look at your ship. Now look at
you're on the horse head nebula.
Yes. So that looks kind of cool. And then today, this is the 9th of September as we're recording this. The folks behind MechWarrior Online, or are they Piranha Games?
Oh, God, here it comes. Bend over.
They announced, what is it, Trans space?
Yeah, it's a sort of gender bending space adventure where
it, no, it is not. But yeah, it doesn't. I'm trying to keep an open mind because I wasn't burned by MechWarrior Online like you were,
no.
Jim.
No, no,
you were really. You feel like you were
keep an open mind. What's going on here is macro transaction hell, and they are going to sell you this game. See, here's the problem: is in MechWarrior, to buy a mech, you pay $30 to $50 per unit. So they see Chris Roberts making $100 for spaceships. And they can't stand it. They're super jelly, and they're like, "Wow, we must get in here and cash in." So
see, this...
and the problem is not Piranha Games, all right? It is Infinite Game Publishing, IGP. PGI is the maker, and IGP is the whipcracker. And IGP just despicable. Because they're the ones that are pushing the business model, and they're like, we must sell golden mechs for $500. We must no joke, and all that crap. So they are just loot pirates, the bastards. But now what I see happening is we went to the store, and damn if they're not selling ships for $50 a crack, just like they're like mechs and MechWarrior, and it's like when you go to their Kickstarter page, there's nothing but a giant purchase button. Seriously.
Well, it is
the most prominent thing on the whole page is buy. So fuck.
Well, we're probably gonna have them on a future podcast.
Okay, so. I meant really nice guys.
No. Here's the funny thing about this. The website, it's transversegame.com. It only mentions Piranha Games. It doesn't even mention those other people.
Yeah, because that's their corporate masters. Right?
But there are five packages. The cheapest package is the Explorer package, and the most expensive package is the Commander package. The Explorer package is $30. The Commander package is $250. There are three packages in the middle.
Okay, so read the names of the packages, but before you say the name, you have to prefix it with the name Butthole. All right, so go ahead.
No, I'm not doing that.
It's Butthole Explorer, Butthole Commander.
No.
No.
No. Okay. Because,
is there a surfer in there somewhere?
Because there is a pirate, and we're not going there. Okay, there is a pirate.
I know,
package,
right?
And we're not going there. Forget it. So, here's the interesting thing. I don't know if you noticed this in the store, but they have a quantity number. So why is there a quantity? This is a digital.
That means that only so many people can buy that package?
Yeah. Countdown. And the Explorer, there's 19,993 Explorer packs. They're all 19,000. 19,999. So apparently four people have bought the Commander. Six people have bought the Trader, and six people have bought the Explorer. If all the numbers are 1999, then no one's bought the Pirate, and no one's bought the Mercenary package so far. What doesn't give me confidence, and I saw this on Blues News, is that when I first saw their video, it looked like they had comments, and then they turned the comments off.
Yeah, I bet I know why.
And last I looked, the downvote. Oh, so Jesus. So, last I looked, 319 downvotes versus 61 upvotes. So there is some bitterness in the air. You're definitely not alone, Jim, in your feelings.
Oh no, you want to just see a tidal wave of angst. You go to Reddit. the MechWarrior Online. They changed the subreddit. I don't remember what it is now. It used to be MWO Mercs, but they had to change it because there was so much negativity that was boiling over in there that they just said, "All right, we're gonna shut that Reddit and open our own new subreddit, and all the nice people get to go there." So. Yeah, it was, and that was over the whole clan thing, right? Whenever they announced like $250 for the clan pack and another $250 if you want one gold skin, and there was a countdown on that too, because only X number of people could get a gold version of each mech. So
really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. The Mad Cats sold out like quick. Now I speak as a person who I have transacted business with these people. You know, I'm not completely clean in this because I gave them for MechWarrior because I love all things MechWarrior. And I like their game, right? They just the problem and the angst and everything what's coming here is that and I don't I just want to explain why, okay? Because they said, "Hey, we're going to make this MechWarrior game. Here's a giant map of the Inner Sphere and all these worlds will be yours because we're going to fight over territory on a map. It's going to be Chrome Hounds on the Xbox, how it had that meta game where you could fight over territory and the colors on the map of who owned what would move."
I heard about that.
Okay, so that's what they were talking about. They're like, "Yeah, man, we're gonna like have moving borders and fighting over territory and stuff, and then you can declare your allegiance to one of the great houses, and then fight in mercenary units against other people, and it will be organized warfare kind of thing." And then they said, "Okay, well, the thing that we got to do though is we're gonna just get the game mechanics working, and we're gonna put in, you know, just a 4v4." Battle system here. It's lance on lance, or you know, 8v8 by the time it got into release, and then it became 12v12, and you know, so they kept adding to it and making it a little better, but it never got away from just being random pickup group. You're gonna drop with whoever and you fight the enemy team, and you know, last man standing or points, whoever captured the base or whatever. But everybody's like, "Where is the meta game? Why, this is what we gave you money for. We want that." So yeah. When they should have been working on that, they are instead like, "Oh, here's skins you can buy. Here's this." You know, they keep coming out with a continuous stream of things to spend real world money on to continue to fuel their corporate masters' wallets, right? Meanwhile, everybody that signed up at first, like for the founders' packages, we gave them anywhere between $50 and $150, right? And I came in top end on that thing, and you know, so I'm like, well, so whenever it was like, okay, now we have bled you dry for all this stuff, and it's a lot like the anger that's going on with Star Citizen, so it's kind of all relevant. It's like, we have bled out your goodwill and your wallet, and now, oh, here's a new thing. The clans are here. We put all our development time into making like these 50 new mechs that you can buy for $50 a piece, and here you go. You know, who wants to purchase these for $500? And it's like, oh my god, are you going to finish the game? You know, it's just, ah.
You know,
so,
it's funny.
So that's what I'm thinking, pissed about.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking back. You were talking about a meta layer. I was thinking, did you ever play the first Heavy Gear game?
Yeah, I played Heavy Gear 1 and 2. Heavy Gear 1 was terrible. Terrible.
Right, but the multiplayer actually wasn't terrible. It was all right. But it had a meta game. It was a war mode. It had a meta game. You were fighting across Terra Nova. And that was 1997. I mean, if they could do that in 1997,
if Chrome Hounds did it on the frickin' Xbox like 10 years ago, right?
Yeah,
so,
that's it.
I mean, come on. So that's the thing, right? Is just like, how much of your development time would it take for that? And then the UI when they put the thing out, it even went to release, and the UI was god awful. And we lived with that UI with no changes for a year and a half. And they kept saying, "All right, man, we're working on UI version 2. We're working on it. We're doing it. We're totally doing it. Meanwhile, buy this. Here's another thing. Here's some skins. Buy this. Champion mechs. Oh, no." And then they would continue to nerf the economy, so they made it harder and harder to grind to get stuff so that people would continue to open their wallet just to keep up. And, you know, it's just a very bad will-building thing with the community. It was freaking terrible. Mm. So then they come out with UI 2.0. They're like, "This is it. It's here." Oh, my God, it was putrid. It was like – it was a step back from the terrible thing that we had. It's like now we can't find anything, and we have to go to three different screens to click whatever. The multiplayer button is hidden. It's like down on the taskbar at the bottom. And it just looks like three little heads, right? And you wouldn't find it if somebody didn't point out to you where it was. and to go in there. And then you invite your friends, and you have to leave that screen to go out and pick your mech. And God, just bad. Like, a first-year any kind of UI student, they could hire a college freshman to design that shit, and it would have been better. But why did it take 2 years to get that? Because they were shoveling all their development time into money-generating crap because the IGP guys are just foul. And they kind of they're turning the screws on PGI, and they're like, you must make money-making continue to drive microtransactions. And like in the free moments in between, you know, like while you're on lunch, you can actually work on the features in the game that you promised 3 years ago. So, yeah, terrible. So that's why I hate them. And this new game coming out, I'm just like, oh, God, here we go again. Except that they're looking at Chris Roberts now and saying, oh, yeah, there's other people that we could milk. End of
rant. Okay, hopefully it won't turn out that bad. Hopefully. But there have been some smaller games that I've been made aware of, too. I haven't had time to post news on the site, folks, but people have been telling me about Jameson the Pilot, which is a top-down, open-worldy, spacey thing. And there's also another one called Beyond Soul, which is a top-down, open-worldy, spacey thing. And then there's another one called Reassembly. We're going to have them on next week to talk about their spacey game. And then there was another one. I can't remember what it's called now, but it was like Orcs Must Die in Space. That's what it was.
That should actually be the title, really.
Excubitor?
Space Orcs Must Die.
It's called Excubitor. I don't... Okay. So
Space Orchestra.
What was that?
Space Orchestra.
Ugh. With the puns. So, yeah, there's a lot. See, this is what worries me. I'm so glad that there's a resurgence, and I'm so glad that we're seeing more space games, but I'm worried that the same thing that happened last time, where for every Free Space and for every Wing Commander, you had 15 fragile allegiances. You know? Just a bunch of crap.
Well, but that happens anytime you get a genre that gets good. Like, that's look true. At RTS games in general. There was complete shovel of trash for, oh, wow. There was like a 5-year window there where it was just throw any kind of RTS anything at the wall and see if it sticks. Because the big money studios cannot innovate. It's just like somebody made Warcraft. Oh, my God. Make Warcraft as well with different art. Throw it at the wall.
Well, it's Sturgeon's Law too, right?
Yeah, what's explain that one.
There was a pulp publisher in the 30s, I think, Sturgeon. And at one point, somebody came to him and said, you know, 90% of pulp is crap. And he said, yes, 90% of everything is crap. And that became Sturgeon's Law.
But 60% of the time, it works every time.
It's probably not.
That's Ron Burgundy's law.
Oh, jeez. Speaking of RTS, to get to our main topic this week, we were asked by, again, reader Timmer to look at a game from 1996 called Star Command Revolution. Now, I don't know why I skipped this game. Like, I love space. I love real-time strategy games. I think the box, I don't know if you guys have seen what the box looked like on like Wikipedia or whatever. Goofy box. And the graphics are kind of at the time. They're even worse now. But so for some reason, I never played it. And that surprises me because I love both genres. I love both types of things this game is. So I don't know why it skipped me or I skipped it. But an interesting thing about it is it was made by the same company who later made Armada for the Dreamcast. They changed their name a little bit.
Yeah, when they today? Made this. What's today? Whose birthday is it?
That's right. Today is September 9th, which is the 15th birthday of the Dreamcast.
Woo!
I know, right?
I kind of want to load
You did. You did. Yeah, I kind of want to load mine up after the show and play a little Armada or some Crazy Taxi because it's still a great system. It really is a great system. But yeah, so these guys – so when I read that they made Armada, I was like, oh, so my interest totally peaked. So – the version I found, I got from a friend, let's just say, and no manual, no manual whatsoever. All I have is the disc, and so I'm loading it up in the stream now.
You know, these are the only two games that Roger Fang ever made, in fact.
Who's
Armada
that?
Armada and Star Command. He was the lead dev.
Really?
He was the designer and the developer for it, yeah.
Interesting. Is that from Moby Games?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Gotta love Moby Games. So, thankfully, since I didn't have a manual, there's a little green button down here that says basic training. So, right now, basically it gives you, you know, a rundown of, you have a mothership that harvests resources and builds stations. Here's the interesting thing about this game. It's got a very interesting resource model. You have a mothership, and the mothership is the only thing that can collect resources, period. So you really have to keep your eye on that mothership. Also with the mothership, if you want to improve your technology, you have to build an academy and then park your mothership next to it so it can research new technologies. The interesting thing is, if you're far enough away from resources, you can't gather any more resources while you're researching technology. So it's an interesting balancing act.
Well, I think the thing that's most interesting about this game is in other RTSs, you have your base, right?
Yeah.
Or it, like StarCraft, right? You plunk down your mining operation and you put the barracks and some turrets, and then you build an army and go away from it. And here, it's more that the mothership actually goes all around the map, and it's the doer, right? It's your hero. Whereas otherwise, other games, that would be something that you park in the back corner and try to defend it.
And you put a bunch of turrets around it and leave it alone, and then it gets attacked every once in a while. But no, in this game, your mothership has to be active, which means you have to be very careful about how you use it. So, you know, your mothership can build units, it can build bases, which can build more units. And the interesting thing is, if you park your mothership next to a academy for long enough, you could start building units from other races. At least that's what I found. So we're going to start the tutorial map here, and it's kind of an interesting way they did this. In the stream, it'll show up in a minute. Basic training, there's actually text on the map itself. So not only, I forgot about this, not only if you park your mothership next to an academy will it level up, if you park your ships next to academy, they will also level up. So your ships will also level up in combat as well. But this is a very, and they can also level up if you put a target out and have them shoot at it. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic to leveling up your ships, I think. So this is it. The game is interesting because it has terrain. Like, can you guys see the stream?
Yep.
You see, there's some gray stuff here. It looks like rock, but the explorers can fly over that.
So does it just block the mothership?
No, the mothership can fly over that too if it wants to.
Oh, so what is that? Is that mineable? You're mining the crystals,
No,
right?
It's not mineable. That's the thing. It's not mineable. And now the mothership has to get close enough to these crystals. Yeah, there it goes. The mothership has to get close enough to these crystals to start harvesting it. So you can't just leave. I can't just leave it next to the academy, which is crazy. So I'm going to use my four explorers here.
It's kind of like about time management as well then, because you have to say, how much idle time can I afford? Because I could be being productive.
Well, here's another interesting thing about time, since you bring that up. There's a big green light down here in the lower left corner. And when you build any unit, that light goes red. And that tells you can't build anything until that light turns green. And certain units take longer to build than others, so that light will stay red for longer if you build a larger unit.
So can you make a factory and build units from there, or all units originate from the mothership?
No. You can build a base,
uh-huh,
and you could also build ships from there as well.
Oh, does that allow you to build two at a time, or you choose where they are built?
No, you can only build one thing at a time.
Okay.
So it's very stringent with your resources. You know, it's very, like, you have to be very watchful of your resources. So now here's another part of the map with some more text on it. Apparently you can self-destruct your own units by holding down the control key. And
it's like lemmings. Do they get, like, a little timer over their head?
No, actually.
That was my favorite part of Lemmings, was just self-destructing all my dudes. Yeah.
So let's see. Whoa. Hang on. Hang on. So, yeah, you'll go through the map. No.
Oh, you know what? I just had another thought about...
What's that?
Just one more statement in my Piranha Games rant.
Sure.
They haven't finished MechWarrior yet. Who is making this new game? like, did they take the guys that were going to build the thing that they promised my meta game that everybody wants, and then they just said, we've run this out, so let's abandon it and go, whatever. Okay, so back to this.
Yeah, so, yeah, apparently I can destroy Soul and Knight. I don't know what that is.
But you can't go through these rocks here, huh? This is actually terrain.
No, this is actually terrain. So it's kind of like a ground game, but in space. I also kind of like how the fog of war is blue, like it's water or something.
It's very restrictive mobility here. Like, the games of the time, and it's really low res, right? What is this running, like 800 by 600, something
probably,
like that?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was lower than that.
640 by Whoa. 480.
Okay, we found the enemy, and they are us. No, I'm going to bring my guys back to the base. Guys.
So you exploded those things, and now they're a bunch of twinkle stars. And,
yeah, now they're a bunch of twinkle
stars.
Can
you come mine those with your mothership then?
Yeah, I'm going to. I think so. We're going to find out in a moment. Come on, guys.
So this thing, it's very claustrophobic, right? Like, you don't have very much view radius at all. Like somebody with a flashlight would see further than these ships.
Yeah.
And it's a really tight fog of war. Although I don't think it closes off. You know, once you reveal it, you see it forever, right? So
yeah, I believe so.
But yeah, it's a thing that looks like you're playing this game looking at the map down a paper towel tube. You know, you have a very, very narrow field of vision.
You're not far off, man.
The buildings look funky, man. They look like cartoon things or some kind of Flash Gordon butt plug thing there. I don't know what that even is. What would you call that? That's a
kind of Art Deco retro spacey.
Yeah, it's kind of freaky. It's got a Flash Gordon kind of look to it, like a ray gun pistol.
Yeah, like a 1930s serial, Buck Rogers, Flash Gordon,
Commander Cody
style,
Radar Men from the
Commander
Moon.
Yeah, Commander Cody, like XCOM Interceptor kind of matched that same like 1950s deco look. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so now I've got some units. So now I don't know what to do, so let's see.
Ooh, what is that thing? That's like a weird thing.
So not only,
oh, it's a carrier.
Yeah, so not only can you build... Yeah, the carrier has three fighters that are totally autonomous, which is pretty cool. And then you can build a droid factory, which... So not only can you build ships, but you can build little droids as well. So you have special ops.
That's really weird how the bullets arc. It's almost like they're lobbing them. You know, all the bullets take a curved path to get to what they're hitting.
Yeah.
But instead of being it would look like a lob with gravity, right? If they took an upward arc, but they take a downward and then back up arc when they go. So yeah, it's weird. Because space.
I would not be shocked at all. I would not be shocked in the slightest if this was originally set underwater and then they reskinned it as a space game.
Oh, yeah, totally. Well, we were talking about submarine titans.
Yeah, so an interesting thing about this is the commands are very rudimentary. Left-click to move, right-click to attack. But if you right-click on a friendly unit, all the selected units will then escort that unit, which is nice. You know, I like that. And you have your... Over here on the left, you've got like apparently five resources. I don't even know what these are, but the neat thing
is clearly Triforce.
But the neat thing about it is when you hover over a unit, it shows an overlay of how much resources that unit will cost. So you can easily see, you know, you can easily see how if you have enough resources to build something, which I like. I think that's a nice little touch. So we gotta send the mothership out and about a little further to gather more resources. Because I don't know what it wants me to do for this tutorial mission. Let's figure it out. I probably shouldn't be sending my mothership out here, but whatever. We need resources. So as long as your mothership is adjacent to a university, it will learn tech. Okay, whatever. So yeah, I think it's neat how the map has text on it. So let's explore a little more, because I don't know what else to build right now. Let's find some other bad guys. Yeah, so I don't know why all these rocks are in space, you know, but apparently you can't cross it. It's like a wall in space. I don't know why. Whatever. Sure, space actually has walls, doesn't it? Right? Space is closed off like that, isn't it?
Yeah,
right?
That would be the star wall. Or maybe it's the narwhal. The,
oh, God.
The narwhal bacons at midnight. What?
What? The who?
Never mind.
Yeah, I'm not understanding.
It's secret code. People from Reddit will know.
Yeah, okay. So, let's see. So, you see there's a gap here in the narwhal space wall. So, I'm sending my mothership in a few units. Oh, here we go. Let's see. What do we have? Creative solutions. You may build a Computron temporal across the asteroids. But
so
is there a better solution? I don't know.
It's pretty wacky that they actually have the hints floating in space. You have to uncover them, and then they're permanently painted on the map.
Yeah, I know. I
that,
do adore
that's an
that.
Interesting thing, yeah.
Oh, interesting. There's a teleportal over there. So
you know what would make a really interesting RTS game is that tower defense game that they made that had the UFOs in it. It was I own it. Hold on, I gotta fire up Steam to find out what that is.
So apparently I have to use this thing, but every time I try and right click it with a friendly ship, it attacks it instead of goes through it. I don't understand what's happening here. I'm really confused. Okay, well, whatever. Whoa, I don't know what that just did. Apparently I just launched something. I don't know any idea what's going on. So there's a base. Apparently I can build stuff there too, maybe? I don't know. I don't really know what's happening. I don't know how to use this portal. There's no manual. That's okay, because I think I've learned enough to jump. Oh, damn. That's not what I meant to do. Silly thing. I hit escape and, like, it minimized the window.
Oh yeah, it's Unstoppable Gorg. That's the game.
Okay, oh,
so
that one.
So if you
it's
if
a
you
tower
took the
defense game.
Yeah, you take the retro thing of Unstoppable Gorg and those cool like tin UFOs and the whole Commander Cody ray gun thing that was going on, and you put it in an RTS game. That would be fabulous. That would be the next step, really. I like the tower defense game. It's really cool. I as a rule, I hate tower defense games, but I really like Unstoppable Gorg.
I'll have to play it because I own it, but I haven't tried it.
Yeah, I sent it to you. It was like a buck, the one
that's
on the Steam sale. So, yeah, really, really good tower defense game. Hey,
so,
look, there's a wormhole or something down there.
Yeah, and I don't know what to do with it. Apparently, I could use that, but I don't know how to use it. So I'm just going to exit out. And like, you know, on most games, when you hit escape or hit a button, you have the option to save, to load, to exit, to main menu, to exit, to operate. Here it's just exit.
And it means it.
It means it. So you're back at the main menu. So this game has both single battles.
It will drop your progress like a hot rock.
So this game has single battles where you can play any of the four races over – how many maps are these? These are about 10 maps. And one of them, and they have different AI levels. Apparently, that means different different challenges. I don't know what the different races really do yet. I've only played two of them, but they do have slightly
different
ships. They do. Like the Terran is much more straightforward. I think I played the Computron, and they're much more like we're going to disrupt the electronics of those bad guys or something. So we're going to start a campaign. The campaign is non-linear, apparently. I don't know. I've not gotten past the first mission. So we're going to start a campaign. I guess we, I don't know. I guess we can click any one of these. There are four races, and I don't...
Yeah. Hey, so says, does your mothership ever get superpowers or anything, like magic abilities that can trigger?
I have no idea.
Because it kind of reminds me of the science ship from StarCraft, right? Where the science ship, you could research new powers and then it would do tricks. Like you could freeze the enemies or, you know, irradiate them or whatever. So I would have thought that they would give your mothership some kind of uber abilities.
I guess not.
Since it is your central unit. It's the only thing that's not expendable, right?
Yeah, if this gets blown up, you're dead. You're done. You're absolutely done. So now I started a campaign mission, which is on a different map. And here's the deceiving thing about this mission. This is how it's done so far. You think you only start with your mothership right here. Oh my god, what am I gonna do with just a mothership? Oh, but if I scroll down a little bit, I've got a whole goddamn army down here. So what do I do with this? Oh, I don't know. I don't know yet. I'm going to find the bad guys and make killings of them. I'm going to kill them dead. So, yeah, you start off with like 20 freaking ships. Well, several ships and several droids. There's a difference because droids are much smaller and they don't quack quite a punch. But apparently they're useful. I just haven't seen how. So I'm just going to explore the map a little bit and try and find the enemy. Oh,
have you noticed that the four resources on there is mapped to the four factions?
Huh. Are they?
Looks like it. Those are the faction logos across the bottom of those. Across the bottom.
Oh, that's true. You are correct. You are correct because I'm the Terrans and I'm this like kind of half moon thing right here. Whoa, what is attacking me? I don't know. What is that? Ooh, big missile base. Kill it. Make it dead. Kill it, guys. Kill it. Oh, no. I'm losing guys left and right. Wait, I'm not. I just lost two. Come on. Kill it, guys. Kill it. So apparently if I destroy this kind of big missile base right here, there the enemy missile effectiveness goes down, which is kind of interesting. But I'm losing units at the same time. Come on, buddy. Okay, I've lost four units. Come on, kill it, kill it, kill it, kill it. Oh, there it goes. So we destroyed that base. So now all enemy Terran missile bases are crippled, which is kind of neat. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to send my ships back to base. Now, what is going on over here? Oh, yeah, this is a neat thing. You get a ship that can jump from one point to another. This switcher ship. So it can be an interesting scout. So right now there's like for some reason there's a target over here. If I right click it, it's the ship switches places with it, and I can move the ship around and do some scouting. And then I can jump back once I start getting attacked, which is kind of nifty. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Move, move, you idiot, move. Oh no. Move. Oh, wait, I think I found the bad guys. Oh. Where are you? Why aren't you moving? Are you stuck? Okay. Oh, I did find the bad guys. Okay. Let's get you back here. Whew. Okay. That was kind of cool. So now I kind of know where the bad guys are. I just need to get to them. So I also need to build better shit. So I'm going to build an academy right next to the mothership here. What are they attacking? Oh. Whatever. And I'm going to get some more technology. So this is kind of as far as I've gotten in several attempts because I don't really know how to get from one point to the other point. But I got to say, between this and random maps, I've really been enjoying myself. I've oddly been having a good time with this. And I'm not quite sure why. I mean, I like how it's a little different than other real-time strategy games.
Yeah, it's kind of got that retro thing, and
right.
It feels kind of simple, like easy to figure out, but really hard to master what the heck they want.
Yeah, because without a manual and only with that very basic training thing, which I didn't even finish, I've not gotten everything. I've not learned everything about the game, but I feel like I've learned enough to enjoy myself.
Yeah, this looks to me like it would be the perfect port to iPad kind of thing.
Yeah,
because you only have like one main unit, and the other stuff is basically slave to follow your mothership around. And
it can be, yeah.
You know, and all that, all those crystals floating in space. The way I would change that is make you tap on them to harvest them, you know, or something. Yeah, just like add some kind of tappy thing because you're on a tablet, right? But yeah, totally. You could tabletize this thing real fast because there's no crazy 3D. There's not a whole lot of anything that's complicated here. And things are large, right? They're large, simple things.
Yeah, I mean, if you put a good touch interface on this, which I can't imagine would be difficult. I don't know, though.
You just get rid of all that stuff around the border and make the screen itself of the game the entire experience.
Well, you would still need the build menu here at the very... I think you'd still need some of this.
You know how I would get those menus? I would have you swipe in from the side, and it would drag the menu onto the screen.
Oh, that's a good... like an auto-hide type thing.
Yeah, basically auto-hide. Like, you just slide it out and slide it back in. And it's completely invisible until you drag it into the screen.
Right. That's a great idea. So, yeah, right now I'm gathering more resources so I can build... Ooh.
There's like zero automation in this game, too, right? You have to manually do everything.
Absolutely none. There is no, like... There's no auto-explore.
Are your ships smart enough to at least shoot back if somebody's shooting at them?
Oh, yeah. If it gets close enough, they will start shooting back.
That was the thing about Command & Conquer that made me bonkers.
You could
have a guy, like, a guy runs up and starts shooting your tank, and the tank is just oblivious. And it's like, would you please shoot back? Can you please just notice that guy is shooting you? And no. So you have to go find where it's happening and click the tank and click the guy every time. So they finally got around that, right? But God, it took, I think even Red Alert was that way. And then it took till Red Alert 2 before they fixed it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Was this.
Everybody else had that working, though.
Yeah, well,
Dark Reign, you could set behaviors to the point where you could get skirmishers to go out.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
You could say, go harass and come back when you're 50% damaged.
Yeah, Dark Reign was well ahead of its time.
I still have fun playing that one. You can get it on GOG. It runs great. I love how it comes with... Because for a while, getting the expansion, if you didn't have it, you had to really pay on eBay for it. What was it? Rise of the Shadow Hand? But yeah, if you haven't played Dark Reign, it's not a space game, but it's a great real-time strategy game. Really, really good. Like, excellent. So let's see. I've got... Where are my units? Oh, they're down here.
Science fiction enough to have quake tanks, though.
Quake tanks? What?
Late in the game in Dark Reign, you got quake tanks, I believe.
Oh, right. Yeah. So let's explore the map a little bit while the mothership does its thing. Yeah, so right now I'm clicking everywhere on this map just to have these guys get rid of the fog of war here.
I think part of the reason why this is as good as it looks is that...
It's
in the
simple?
90s, this is a theory that somebody else has had. It's not my theory, but in the 90s, the complexity the computers could support in games was about the sweet spot for what you actually want to play. And these days, we can make things far more complicated, but that doesn't make it more fun.
Yeah.
That's true. That's very true.
As far as I know, that actually originated with Bruce Garrick from the Three Moves Ahead podcast.
Yeah, he's probably...
I'll forgive him for his associations with Tom Chick, but yes.
Oh, probably. God, that's not... Okay.
Bruce was my editor for a while there, so we get along.
I've only talked to Bruce a little bit, but he seems like a nice guy.
He's, a brain surgeon.
And I'm a huge fan of Three Moves Ahead, so...
You know, that's literally true, right? He's a neurologist.
Yeah.
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 Totally wow, that thing's... very fast with the bullets, that turret thing that you're killing.
Oh, I know. I don't know what that was about. It was like laying waste. It was like blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Thankfully,
so what's that green stuff floating? It looks like space farts.
It's nothing. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't have any effect. No, I don't even think it slows down anything. Like you'd think like stuff like that would slow you down or something. It doesn't. It's just gunk.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Like, Honestly, I do remember owning this game back then.
Really?
I just didn't play it very much because back then, much like right now. Good God, we are in an avalanche of games right now.
We really
are.
It's
amazing. So, I mean, I could go down a whole giant list of non-space things, you know. I think it started with Full Mojo Rampage that you made me get. And
that's a great game.
It is pretty fun.
And then Runers.
Runers was cool. McDroid just came out. Fabulous.
Oh, that's a good game.
Lichdom Battle Mage finally got done. Today, Hack and Slash came out. Fabulous.
Have you played Lichdom Battle Mage?
Yes, I have.
How is it?
You should buy it right now.
Oh, I kind of want to because I love mage games.
Well, you know, it's got that Hex and Heretic feel, but you actually craft all your spells. So, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I want to play this way, so I'm going to make spells that do whatever. And it's got that feel like playing Skyrim as a mage, and you have no weapon options. It's just spells. But it's got that Skyrim thing, you know, that you feel like, except that the rooms are kind of puzzly, you know, the way that you have to approach groups of enemies and do things and stuff. It's more shooter, a pure shooter like that.
Right.
But there's still some exploration stuff, and you have to pay attention to the environment because there's hidden objects and crap that you have to, you know, you're basically shooting things on the ceiling that release runes. You know, so it's basically like if it was Diablo, you'd be busting barrels, you know, but it's a little more clever than that. You know, it's like some pulsating goop sack hanging off the ceiling that happens to have a rune in it, that kind of thing. It's really, really cool game, though. It's a little bit Twitch shooter, but there's enough cerebral there to keep me very happy, too.
I'm fine with that.
And we both got Diesel Stormers. Thank you, sir. I have yet to play beyond the tutorial of that. We need to get together and do that. Super Time Force Ultra came out on Steam. A fabulous game. If you like Broforce, you'll like this just as much.
Do I like Broforce, of course.
Yeah! let's see. I got the Metro 2033 Redux. And because Metro 2033 was the game that really got upgraded because they brought it to the Metro, whatever the second game was, engine, and, you know, fixed it up. The second game was just like a little bit of a facelift. It wasn't anything super new, but 2033 was like a huge improvement. So, you know, that, my gosh, there's so many games. And then Joan and I got Final Fantasy. What is it, 14? Yeah, Final Fantasy Online, A Realm Reborn, which was really a piece of crap MMO when it first launched. It was terrible. Like, people did nothing but scream about it, and it deservedly so. So what they did, I don't know if they took it down or they just, like, patched it up in the background or what, but they actually re-released it. You know, they were like, here it is. It's a whole new game, and it is. And it's probably, I would say, the most fun MMO. Between that and Guild Wars 2, it's the MMOs that irritate me the least, and it keeps my attention. And most MMOs, I won't level up past 30, because it just does not keep my attention that long. And on this one, it's just like we are rocking toward 50 right now, and level cap's like 150, so we'll be at it for a while.
That's cool.
Good times. 150. Yeah. Because what's interesting is you don't level up just one character type. You know, it's like, oh, I have to decide. I'm going to be a wizard. I'm going to be a healer. I'm going to be a, you know, whatever. Yeah. You can do all of that. It just depends what weapon's in your hand. And you can't change weapons in the middle of a fight or in the middle of a dungeon, right? So you have to go in being what you want to be. And then they have combinations of things that lead to more complex things. So if I have my healer and my warrior, and I level 1 to 30 and 1 to 15, then I can combine the two and become a paladin.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's really, really cool. So there, you can do, and then the crafting in the game is also treated with the same leveling mechanic as the rest of the game. So you can level up as a crafter as well, and there's quests for it and everything. It's not just like sit in a room and grind on, you know, like bang away at the blacksmith forge, make 1,000 pairs of shoes and then you're level two. It's not like that at all. They made it fun. So there's that. Joan got Sims 4, and I haven't seen her since. the one thing, did you see the picture I put up on Facebook of the character? It's like, I'm going to take an angry poop. That's actually an option in there. It's like you
what?
It's like where you have the balloon come up and it's like the person announces what they're going to do, you know? And if the person happens to be really pissed off about something, they're like, "I'm going to go take an angry poop." And they go and they go in the bathroom and slam the door. So, it's hilarious. She just sits over there and cackles while she plays it. Apparently there's like a lot of Easter eggy funny stuff in there.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's what I think I have to do with this particular map. Because, see, the enemy is right there. And I think what I can do is build a little thing down here that can throw a missile over this wall to them. So I'm going to try that.
Really? Because why not? Toss missiles over the wall?
I think so.
This is kind of like Nerf darts at the office.
A little bit.
I'm totally going over the cubicle wall with the...
Come here, buddy. Come here, mothership. You need to come over here to build this thing. Come here, mothership. Mothership, come over here. Are you moving? Are you moving? Why aren't you moving? Oh. Okay, that's weird. It can't move because it's surrounded by its own units.
Yeah, I saw you destroyed a base there or something just to get it out of the way or what?
I think so. Well, it was like shooting at me.
You like, oh, that was shooting at you? I thought it was yours.
No, it was shooting at me, okay. So I had to, kill it. I had to make an example. Okay, come on, everyone over here. Everyone over here. Come on, everyone. There you go. That's better.
It's very confusing. It's got bastards. All that stuff that looks like terrain that is not. I guess it's actually like lower on the Z-plane. It's behind.
I guess, or it's not as solid. Like, the rocks look very solid while this...
Well, if you look at the rocks that are the walls that you can go through...
It looks like gravel.
Well, right, because it's the same rocks that are the real walls, but it's further behind. Like, it's distant from you in depth away, right?
I was just thinking it wasn't as dense. But okay, you're probably right.
I think
okay,
that's come what here, mother. Is. That actually reminds me, if it was like plants in space, it would be like Jace and the Wheeled Warriors from the frickin' 80s cartoon. Do you remember that crap?
I love that cartoon. But, I'm biased. I don't know if I could watch it now. But back in the day, I loved the hell out of that. Okay, build. No, I need you to build this base right here, man.
They need to let the guys that made Pacific Rim take on Voltron. Because they could rock a Voltron movie completely.
I would watch the shit out of that. I would watch the shit out of that.
They had a little homage to Voltron going on in there anyway, but... they should just go for and for God's sake, the lions, not the cars.
I like the cars too. I had both of them.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. So I hit that blue swirly thing and I get a crosshair. So let's. Oh,
so like artillery that you fire over there?
I think it might be artillery because I shot it and they shot it down.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Oh, the fighters can go over the wall. What? The fighters can go over the wall? What?
That makes
okay, wait
sense.
A minute. It kind of does. So I got to find more resources so I can build another carrier. Hang on. Where's my mothership? Come here, mothership. Okay. Where's more resources? Need more resources to build more things. What is this? Oh. Okay. Well, it builds droids. Yippity doo da. Oh, boy. What do we got? Where are we? Oh.
So Nick, when are you going to get your game done? You keep telling us about this game. It's like back burner.
It's a slow process. Yeah, it's a slow process. Working on a scripting language now.
So you couldn't tell us you couldn't just grab Unity and like crank it out. It's its own thing.
I've already got a game engine. Built, so I need to bring it up to date. Really, at the moment, as much as anything, I'm waiting to see what happens with the next version of OpenGL.
Wow.
Oh.
So what's the story in OpenGL versus other things that are out there? Like, why wouldn't you grab somebody else's pre-built engine and then bend it to your will versus like writing your own engine in OpenGL?
Well, it's partly because that's what I learned to do. Partly because before at a place I was working, I watched the engine that we were using get bought by for strategic reasons by another publisher and shut down just to screw the publisher I was working for.
Oh, gnarly.
Fun.
And, yeah. And,
well, that's like a lot of people are really scared because Crytek is in such distress and CryEngine powers a lot of stuff. So, yeah.
Well, there's that. I mean, you know, Unity could stick around forever. That would be great. But Unity could also get bought by somebody and who knows what happens to it if that happens.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if Unity was just an awesome open source project instead of being... Who actually makes that thing? Is it like Unity Incorporated or is it some other...
There's some sort of company involved, I think. And I haven't looked at it too closely. For all I know, they've insulated themselves from it. But... I know other projects that I've, or other middleware that I've seen, have been munched by large corporate interests and disappeared.
Oh.
So, I mean, even at one point, I was working on some networking middleware, and I can't remember who it was. Was it R-Time? One of our main competitors, just suddenly got bought by Sony. And it became part of, the PlayStation 2 development system. But if you weren't on PlayStation 2, it kind of went away.
Oh, wow. So back to this game real quick. This is interesting. To build, like, if you get enough research, you can start building units from the other races. But resources are race-specific. So you were right, Todd. For example, to build this particular... enemy base for myself, I need more resources specific to that race. So, yeah, it's in red right now, so I can't build it. It's kind of fascinating, and I don't know where to get it. So it's kind of fascinating.
I'm a little surprised there isn't a way to sell your type of resource to buy the other kinds.
Is there? No. See, there's no button to do anything over here, you know? There's... I don't know what the hell. Where's the mothership? Oh, I don't know where the mothership is. Where the hell did the mothership go? Why is the mothership not moving? Oh my god. Oh, it's stuck. Because the carrier's in the way. What? So it couldn't go through. So the thing.
Pathfinding is hard.
So the mothership can't go through this green cloud. Other units could, but not the mothership. Fascinating. Like, why isn't the mothership doing what it's supposed to be doing? Oh, because it's stuck. This game is cray. You know what, though? It's weird. I want to play more. Because apparently the campaign is non-linear to a point where you finish a map, you have a choice of which wormhole to go into next. And that takes you to the next map, and there's like 50 or 60 maps, and the campaign is totally like you choose where you go next. I think that's neat. I love that sort of crap. Wait a minute. Wait. Am I supposed to shoot these things? Oh yeah, I think I'm supposed to shoot these blow. I think I'm supposed to shoot these star looking things. Oh, for God's sakes. Okay. Learning.
Space goodie huts.
So yeah, even without a manual, I'm actually kind of enjoying figuring this all out. You know what I mean? I'm actually having a good time, even though the graphics kind of hurt my eyes, and all this manual nonsense is killing me. Oh, yeah, those are resources. Check that out. Derp, 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 derp. So there were resources in my backyard this whole goddamn time. I didn't know it because I didn't blow them up. So
it's kind of like the BP thing. You blow it up and then harvest it.
Well, at least there are no dolphins to kill out here.
Mining space.
Strip mine. Isn't that what every space RTS is? Ooh, there's an asteroid. Kill it. Rip it of its valuable materials. That's every space-based RTS, isn't it?
Yeah,
any resource gathering.
Shielding.
any resource gathering based space RTS. It's basically strip mining, basically. And you never ask too many questions about that mining. Like, who's doing the mining itself? Is it robots? Is it slaves? Is it robot slaves? Aren't all robots slaves? But yeah, you know what I mean.
Daleks.
Daleks. Exterminate. Baconate. I don't know. So I'm getting a little tired. We should probably wrap this up soon because I don't know what to do next. And I don't want to keep people here waiting forever. But folks, yeah, this game is from 1996.
Can you lay hands on it anywhere?
No.
Oh, no.
It's not available digitally anywhere. And there's some confusion because there's not only this game, but there's Star Command Deluxe, which came out shortly after. The thing about that game is it's a multiplayer-only skirmish game. There's no campaign whatsoever.
Hmm.
So if you want an actual campaign, you got to get Star Command Revolution. And you can find it on eBay and such. Like, I'm sure it's not very expensive. But there are some frustrations, like no save whatsoever, you know, very confusing. But let's see, how much can you get it for? I want to just see how much you can get it for. Star Commander Lucian. What? Oh, you can get it for varying prices. I see $3.99. I see $14.44. I see, oh, still sealed, $19.95. Fascinating. And on Amazon, let's see. I don't even remember where I got it. It's ages ago. Yeah, you can get it $5. That's the cheapest you can get it. Or $8.65 with Prime. Open box like new. I'm tempted to kind of buy it just so I can have a goddamn manual. Because, yeah, this is a game where I think you need a manual.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting. This is a thing that just is laying there, and GOG could...
Like new, no manual.
Yeah.
Say again, Todd?
I was going to say, I have a couple of things that I've bought that were open manual like new, or open box new.
Yeah, this doesn't say whether it has the manual or not. Oh, but this jewel case does with a 34-page manual. Ooh. See, here's the thing, guys. I was enjoying that copy I acquired from a friend enough that I want my own copy. Seriously, I want my own copy because I was enjoying that. I mean, it may look it is archaic. It doesn't just look archaic. Compared to modern-day RTSs, it's archaic. But it's different. I mean, its resource model is different. Its research model is different. You know, it was doing different things back in 1996 when everyone else was trying to be Command and Conquer, you know? So I'd say it's got that going for it.
Yeah, I think it was being weird. And, like, everybody else was trying to be normal, and this game was like, I'm going to be weird.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Because it didn't really stick to convention. That's very true. But, yeah. So that's Star Command Revolution, folks. If you can stomach a game that's 18, oh my God. 18 years old, guys. 18 years old.
This game very soon will be able to drink.
Yeah, it can vote. This game can vote. It just graduated high school and now wants to party. It's about to go into college. It was published by GT Interactive. Remember them?
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't figure out what the fuck they were doing. They had all kinds of wacky ass shit.
That was one of those deals where they didn't really have a genre that they stuck to. They were just like random, like, oh, can we publish your game? Sweet. You know, we don't care.
Oh, God. They published.
It's like Joe Wood. Remember Joe Wood?
Oh, yeah. I remember Joe Wood.
Joe Wood that
weird German publisher that had like everything. So here's some of the games that GT Interactive published for the Game Boy, Beavis and Butthead, for the Game Boy Color, Duke Nukem and Oddworld Adventures, for the Mac, which at the time was kind of crazy, both Lode Runner games, Dark Colony, which we were talking about earlier, Bedlam, remember that one? Deadlock, remember that turn-based game? That was a great game. Worms, For the N64, they also produced Duke Nukem and Unreal. For Windows, they're all over the place. Everything from 1602 AD to AHX1, remember that? Arcady Flight Sim, to Amok, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
To Blood, Blood 1 and 2, Chasm, The Rift, Death Rally. Oh, my God, Death Rally? Really? Kingdom O Magic, not of Magic, O Magic. Several, like, Doom and Heretic and Hexen mission packs. Oh, my God, Man of War 2. I didn't know they did that one. So, yeah, GT Interactive was all Power Slide. Oh, my God, they were all over the damn map. Oh, all the Total Annihilation games. All of those. And Unreal. Oh, my God, they did tons of shit. Hey, the Saturn. Here you go, Todd. They did some shit for the Saturn.
I remember that.
Area 51, DEFCON 5. They brought over Doom and Hexen. I don't know what the hell Courier Crisis is, or Trash It. Z? Really? The real-time strategy game? Z? Yeah, apparently. Okay, well, GT, they developed a lot fewer games than they published. Like Driver, the original Driver. That was theirs, apparently. And Beavis and Butthead Get Big in Hollywood. Oh, my God. So, yeah, folks, 1996 was a very different time. Very different time for gaming. Back then, you could walk into an electronics boutique and half the store was PC games. Those are the days.
Yeah, they weren't like one little bookshelf that was over in the corner.
Or an end cap.
And the boxes looked like they'd been handled by the Samsonite gorilla.
What the hell is
that? Back then, you had to walk into a store to get a game.
That's true. But there was something about that, man. There was something about browsing those shelves and picking up the boxes, you know, that I do kind of miss. I know it's nostalgia because now, oh, there's a game on sale for Steam for $1. Click, mine. You know what I mean? It's a little more dangerous now. But
I think they've figured out, you know, when you get rid of shelf space issues, then the long tail allows you to sell things forever, you know. So,
yeah.
And gosh, good old games is the ultimate of that, right? Because they take things that have been dead and resurrect them and sell them again for, you know, they make some good bank, right?
And people buy the shit out of them, which is great. Yeah. You know, which is good for them. I mean, I love GOG. I love GOG. But yes, this
probably
game should be
middle ground.
Sorry.
Really old stuff runs on. There's a big space in the middle of stuff that's hard to emulate. There's a big space in the middle of stuff that isn't on GOG because it's hard to get running on current Windows, and it's not old enough to run on DOSBox.
Yeah.
Oh, like that late 90s, early 2000. Yeah, a prime example of that was Interstate 76, which still doesn't run right out of the box from GOG. You have to get like a special utility to do it.
Yeah, which is the MechWarrior 2 engine. So you're going to run into the same trouble with MechWarrior 2.
Exactly. So, yeah, it was the late 90s where you had all those different 3D accelerator things going.
Oh, yeah. Like that had to be a nightmare back then when it was,
oh, my God,
completely different standards. You know, that's a weird thing. Like, they're almost trying to do that again today because, yeah, you have your DirectX thing and there's OpenGL, but now NVIDIA is trying to come up with their own third-party thing, you know, ATI is like, oh, well, we're going to have our own whatever. So it's almost like they're just trying to do that. Because they figure if they can exclude the performance stuff, they can exclude their competitors from being able to use the same efficiencies, right? So then that will force game developers to actually have to choose, like, oh, we're going to support NVIDIA cards and not so much ATI. And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what back then, what did you have? You had
Voodoo. Yeah.
Voodoo, Rendition.
Number 9.
And then you had Matrox had their thing going.
Yeah, Matrox. Boy, those were not good.
ATI was doing their thing.
The one thing that Matrox had going for them was they had a dual head card, right? So you could run two monitors off one card. crazy. Yeah, like every card does that. Now, my current card, I can run, God, four monitors off of that thing.
Because
it's got two of the DVIs and one HDMI and one mini display port.
I can crank four.
Yeah, and God, like Joan's laptop. She just bought a laptop that can run three displays off of it. It's crazy. So
you saw it. Folks, Jim showed me a video earlier today. It was kids reacting to old computers. And so they put this Apple II in front of all these kids. And it was both delightful and infuriating. But at the end, they give this kid an iPhone. It's like, it would take 850 of these computers to power this one iPhone. It's like, wow, that's as far as we've come. That's amazing.
I thought it was funny. Like they give the kid a floppy disk, and then they're like, well, put it in. And he's looking all over the computer like, where do I stick this thing? And they couldn't figure out that you have to lift the latch open on the drive. And then one kid's like, is this some kind of CD?
I think my favorite was, it's no internet. How do you do homework? You had to go to the library. Why would I want to do that? I think that was my favorite.
I'm surprised that libraries even continue to exist at this point.
Well, they're adapting. They have ebooks now and stuff, so they're trying to adapt. Mm. But yeah. I mean, they're still useful, I think, because there's still lots of books out there. But anyway, folks, that was our podcast for this week. Next week, we have a guest. There's a gaming Kickstarter called Reassembly, which I have yet to play, but it looks pretty cool. Just one word, Reassembly, and we're having one of the developers of that game. The company's called Anisoptera.
It sounds like a German industrial or minimalist techno band. Reassembly.
Reassembly. Yeah. But
And
yeah,
now so on this show is the time when we dance. Yeah.
So we're gonna have them on next week. And then we might have a guest on after that. Now that I'm back and my mind is getting out of moving mode, I've got several irons on the fire. But I don't want to say anything until they're confirmed. So for next week we have a guest, and then we'll see you after that. So, folks, thank you for listening as always, and thank you again for being patient during that really slow period where I was packing up my entire life and moving it 15 miles southwest. To a whole nother place, it feels like. But yeah, it's going to be better off because I'll have more time for the blog, more time to do videos, and Jim, more time for co-op.
Awesome.
So, awesome.
Yes.
You know what's funny? I wanted to mention last thing. I'm starting not to give a shit if things aren't just single player only anymore, and it's your fault.
I know, right?
It's entirely your fault. I'm like, ooh, does it have co-op? That's one of the reasons I got Diesel Stormers. Randomly generated missions, randomly generated maps. Oh, co-op. Boom. You know?
I know, right? Like the first dose is always free. And then you're hooked.
This is all your fault.
Oh my God. Wait till I get you playing League of Legends.
Ooh, no. It's done. No. I refuse to play League of Legends. Oh God. Do you don't play League of Legends?
I play it sometimes. Not very frequently, but yeah, I've jumped in before. I have friends that play it, so.
Todd, do you play League of Legends at all?
Nope.
Yeah, I can't say I believe you. And Todd, thank you for coming on and helping us out, figuring out the stream. It seemed to have been working okay after whatever the hiccup we were having earlier was. Yeah, according to OBS, I have dropped no frames.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because the internet's so much better here for some reason. Same company. Just better connection.
You're on the better side of town.
I guess I am in so many ways. But folks, thank you so much. Again, this topic was presented by a reader. So if you have a game you want us to cover or a guest you'd like us to bring on, you can not only hit us up in the comments, but you can hit us up at hail@spacegamejunkie.com. We are always open to bringing on people, even people we might not like. So it might make for an interesting show. Excuse me. So,
was that directed at me?
No, actually. No. Okay. There. Someone suggested a couple of. The reader wrote in saying, "Could you bring these two people on?" And they're both for games I don't like. I don't want to say which yet, but they're both for games.
So it's games you don't like, not necessarily personas that you
don't. Not necessarily people, just the games I don't like. So I'm not sure about. Well, okay, one kind of abandoned his game.
Oh my God! Really?
Finished? Yeah.
Oh my God! I know.
And he's working on the sequel now. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And we're like, really? And we're
going to get the nicest guy ever, but F that game. Okay.
Yeah, it might be the nicest guy ever, but we don't know. So
it's like Piranha Games. Well, we've abandoned the unfinished. Whatever. All right.
Oh my God! We might have them on too.
I know.
So, oh my God, this is going to be fun. So thank you, folks, for listening. I'm cutting the stream and cutting the podcast. So have a great night, everyone. See you next week. Bye.